sat in a motorhome and trying to work on this message and some other things, and just watching you guys run and run and run made me tired, amen. And I wasn't even doing anything. I guess I probably wouldn't be the only one in here if I was to say I am really going to miss Paul when he moves on. He's been a blessing to me, and I'm glad that this time I get to witness this youth rally, because I know it means a lot to all you too. Amen? And he's invested some time in you, and you're going to be better because of it. And I'll tell you what you need to do for that family right there. You need to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
I love you guys. And I thank God for your friendship and the encouragement that you are to me. And I pray that you seek and stay in God's will all your life, regardless of what your flesh wants to do or what crosses your mind. Might you stay in the will of God. You have committed that message to all these young people for all these years. And now how much more so do you have to walk in it? Amen. We love you. And feel free to come by and visit every July when I'm here so you can walk my dog. Amen. praise the Lord. I'm going to try not to go long, but it never works because I'm an evangelist. Amen. But I try to get the message across tonight and give you something to think about and then go on your way. Jeremiah 21. Let's get a verse out of Jeremiah chapter 21. And again, just thank you for, you know, your kindness to me and my family. We really appreciate it. And we love coming here. And it's been said, maybe Pat said it earlier, we're looking at the future. Amen. And I tell you what, there's a lot of ways, a lot of places you can turn and look. And it looks pretty grim. Amen. I mean, it looks like the Lord could be back in the next 5 minutes. Not just because of the state of the world, but because of the state of Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's lining up with Revelation chapter 3 and all that. And but then, you know, I get to look around and watch and see you young people just really enjoying the Lord and each other. And, man, I tell you, I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry. And I know why he's tarrying, amen, because he's not willing that any should perish. But it gave me some hope that everybody's not selling out. Everybody's not, you know, just going toward the world. It's possible to enjoy your Christianity and to enjoy God's people and still live in a way that's pleasing to God and a value to God. Amen. So I commend you for that. And praise the Lord. Jeremiah 21, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the ways of life, the way of life, and the way of death." All right? "And unto this people thou shalt say." Now here's Jeremiah, and the Lord directed him. So the message is for God's people, Lord, and that's who's talking.
Yeah.
And he says, "Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And so what he's using the prophet to tell the people is this right here. You've got a choice. You've got a choice, and really what it boils down to is life and death. And that's what the Bible does throughout. It tells you what God says, tells you what God honors, tells you what God doesn't like, tells you those things, black and white, puts them out there. But then God left us here with a free will. God left us here with a challenge. And God left us here for you to make a choice. Amen. Whether you're going to heed what the Lord said or not. Amen. So I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on this thought about choices. Because that's what time it is. Okay? You've heard the truth. And And it's your decision to live for God, amen, or not. As you know, you're getting there. You're getting there, young adults. And of course, our desire, Paul's desire, Pastor Veet, Pastor Dean, my desire is that you choose to live for God. That's it, man. That's the best life. We've learned that. And we can impart it to you. We can encourage you. We can warn you. We can entice you. But bottom line, at the end of the day, and it's supposed to be this way, this is how God gets the glory. When it's your choice. And I hope you'll make the right choice. I'll just give you a couple things on that thought here tonight. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, God, for these folks that are assembled here tonight that have made the choice to participate in this youth event, not just tonight, but today, last night. Thank you for the good spirit. Thank you for the ability for your spirit to move in our midst because of their spirit. Father, I pray that you just take this simple message, Lord, and help me to deliver it in such a way that these folks in here tonight will be provoked to think about things, make the right choices if perchance someone in here is not saved. I pray that tonight will be the night to make the most important choice of all. Father, I love you, and I'll fail at this unless you help me, and I pray you would. I submit the message to thee and pray and ask, Lord, that you might be pleased with it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now take your Bible. Now we're going to look around a few verses here. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're talking about choices here for a little while. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 28. Again, the Bible, that's what it does throughout. It gives you, it lays some things out for you and gives you a choice. And he doesn't make it hard to make the right choice. In verse 28, Acts chapter 2 and verse 28, it says this, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." So you've got the ways of life. Amen. And what you see associated with that, we saw that in the verse in Jeremiah 21. The way of life and the way of death. Now here, associated with the ways of life, well, you have joy. You have joy. But that reminded me of a verse in Proverbs 14. Some of you are familiar probably with verse 12. It says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So you've got a way that the Word of God makes known to you, that the Spirit of God bears witness to you. It's referred to as ways of life, and there's joy associated with it. But in the natural state, the natural man, there's a way that seems right unto him too, but it's got death. Listen, you got a choice here, and it's life or death. It's joy or sadness. Verse 13, Proverbs 14 says, "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." And tonight, Saturday night, last night, all across this city, all across this country, there were people that thought they were having a good time, saved up, waited for the weekend, got out there and did whatever is supposed to be cool or happening or whatever that word is this year, and laughing and having a good time. Of course, some of them weren't laughing this morning when they woke up with their head in the toilet and that kind of thing, and sick, and some woke up in the hospital, and some woke up in jail. Well, made a wrong choice. It says, even in laughter, their heart is sorrowful. I just want to provoke you tonight to consider that the choice is yours, and the path of life, the ways of life, according to the Bible, are associated with joy, and the other with death and with sorrow. And amen. I want to talk to you about choices because life's full of choices. I'm not talking about nickel dime choices like, you know, what are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? What are you going to watch on TV? I'm not talking about what team to root for, things like that. We're talking about, well, serious business. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about your life and death. Here, I have a story here about a girl. Her name was Rachel Jackson. This was in Tennessee a few years ago, north of Nashville. And this was in the paper. And actually, I knew an evangelist son that knew this girl. And she was she went to a good church. She was a saved girl. And she was part of a good Christian family. And she is a good girl. And participated in youth group and all that kind of thing. And blessing to her sisters and brothers. But she turned 16 years old. And some of her friends also then, some where she went to school, had gotten jobs in places. And she wanted to get a job. And she wanted to earn her own money and things like that. But her dad, good, faithful Christian guy, prayed about it and didn't think it was a good idea and felt that she was too young. Now, whether you feel she is or not, or whether you're in a similar situation, that's your business. That's between you and God. But in this situation, her father was against it and forbid it. And whatever his reasons were, that's his business. But, well, this is a good girl, and this is a saved girl, and this is a church girl, and this is a girl that loves the Lord, and this is a girl that loves the Bible. But just like you and I, this girl still got a flesh, and she went and she applied for a job at a little restaurant called Captain D's. I don't know if you have them around here or not, little seafood type fast food restaurant. They got them all over the country. And she went and did that, and she made it real clear. She said, now, if I get the job, I can never, ever, ever work on Wednesdays. I cannot work, absolutely never. I cannot work on Sundays. And this place agreed. They said, okay. And they hired her, and her mother, helped her conceal the fact that she had that job from her dad. And this is a good Christian lady. And she didn't, it wasn't because she was wicked, amen, or full of the devil or anything like that. She just, you know, dad took a stand. And, but the girl, you know, pleaded with her mom then. And mom just thought, you know, what harm could it do? And of course, she did that job while her dad was at work, and that worked for a while, and he didn't know, but finally, I mean, the inevitable came. I mean, this is a good Christian girl. This is an honest girl. This is a hardworking girl. She becomes the best employee in the whole store. Amen. And finally, she got a call on Sunday morning where she's getting ready to go to church, and the call comes in. They're frantic at Captain D's. They had two workers call in sick. Amen. They won't be able to open the store unless somebody comes in. Her testimony was so good. Amen. They wanted her. They begged her to come in, and finally she agreed. Of course, cat's out of the bag then. They got to have the discussion about this here just before going to church. Dad didn't even know she had the job, and Dad objected and wanted her to go to church and quit the job, and Mom then interceded on the daughter's behalf and took her to work. Amen. A man named Paul Reed had been paroled from Texas State Penitentiary about a month before this date. He was a convicted murderer. He did 20-some years in prison. He got out of prison and he moved to the Nashville area. At that very morning, when they called and talked Rachel into coming in, he went into a McDonald's and stabbed the manager 27 times. Then he kidnapped two teenage girls and took them up out in the country and into a cave and raped them and slit their throats. All right, this guy, Paul Reed, he got an early start. Boy, within a half hour of Rachel reporting to work, he comes in to the Captain D's. Amen. He shoots the 25-year-old store manager who had a wife and two small children, kills him, and turns the gun on Rachel Jackson and shoots her in the head. And the autopsy revealed that the first shot didn't kill her, and he shot her again. Amen. Paul Reed did not go to the church that Rachel Jackson had been in every Sunday her whole life and kill her. Amen. He went to a restaurant where she was not supposed to be. Mom, of course, had a nervous breakdown. The parents soon divorced. And that Christian home, including some brothers and sisters, younger siblings of Rachel's, that Christian home came apart at the seams. Christian, saved, Bible-believing home. Why? Bad choices. Seemed innocent enough. Amen. Are you saying God did? I didn't say God did anything. I'm just looking at an example of a Christian that made a bad choice. Amen. He said, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And I just want you to know, take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 6. I just want you to know that some of the choices that you have before you in your life are extremely serious. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. And many of you know this. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. For this is the first commandment with promise. And here's the promise. That it may be well with thee and thy, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, you get a job, that's one thing. But the issue at hand here is that her father was against it. Her father was adamant about this not being a good thing. She dishonored her father. And that book says there's a promise that goes with honoring. Well, there's a promise that goes with dishonoring, too. It's not going to go well. Here's how it works. For a young person, and I'm not talking about little kids, I'm talking about if you're under your parents' roof, still living there, amen, school age, things like probably most of you are, it'll never be as easy for you to be in the perfect will of God than it is right now. Because the perfect will of God is for you to obey your parents in the Lord. You may not always agree. I guarantee you, you won't. You won't always agree. You won't always understand. Sometimes it may seem like they're wrong. I'm not going to say that sometimes they may be. I'm not going to give you that kind of ammunition. I'm going to say what the book says. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It would be a good choice, according to the Word of God, to do what's right. Because you can get God in on it, in on blessing you for doing right. Amen. Now, some of you, I'm not going to answer a show of hands. I'm sure we got 16, 17, 18-year-olds, amen, in here. Some maybe just younger than that, but here's what's going on. The time in place in your life is changing, and the responsibility for choices in your life is changing from your parents, from those appointed over you, to you. And it's becoming that time when you're going to have to make some decisions and choices, and in a few years you're going to be making them all. And you better make some good ones. He said, for unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And that's what life is. That's what life is about, choices. And some of your choices are going to seriously affect your physical life. Many times kids will get into trouble and sometimes get locked up, and every time, especially the mothers, man, especially the mothers, here it is, he was really a good boy, or she was a good girl, and amen, I'll tell you what, moms will stick by you, man, even when you're wrong, man. I ask me how I know, amen. But, and I don't like to say that. Here's what they'll say. They just got in with the wrong crowd, and I don't like to give that kind of cop-out, but truth of the matter is, it does happen all the time. Amen. Of course, you get in with the wrong crowd long enough, you become the wrong crowd. Amen. You become a bad influence on somebody else, so I don't want to let you off the hook, but boy, I'll tell you what, one of the most important choices you're ever going to make in your life, Brother Paul alluded to it last night, is the company you keep, man. The crowd that you run with. The people that you choose to hang around, because that's your choice. When that shooting went down in Colorado a few years ago, and I had an article about those two boys that went into that Columbine high school and shot like 17 kids or something like that. And here's what it said in the article. It gave their something, little things about them. And one was a leader, and one was a follower. Well, guess what? They both did the same thing. They're both experiencing the same thing right now, as far as I can tell, from the pits of hell. Amen. That's the way it is. Some are more leaders, and some are followers. I'll tell you something. You better be real careful about the company you keep. Whichever one you are. Amen. Brother Paul said something about peer pressure. I like the way he phrased it. I tried to tell my wife. I couldn't remember. I'm getting old. Amen. And peer pressure is, we talk about it. We talk about it. We preach to young people about peer pressure because it's very real, but it's not just a teenage problem. Peer pressure is a human being problem. We're all affected by the people we hang around with. Amen. That's not just something that young people go through and you get past it. I mean, adults every day are affected by it. That's why it's so important to be careful who you hang around. The reason we preach it to young people is because we don't want you to be slaves to it all your life like some of us have been. You can't do anything about it. You can't get away from peer pressure. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can choose your peers. You can choose friends that won't put pressure on you, amen, to do the wrong thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Amen. I'm glad God put me in a crowd that encourages me to do right. I know what I'm capable of. I'm talking about in a hot pair of New York seconds, I can do something wrong. I'm surrounded. I'm in church almost probably on an average of 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, because I need to be around people that will provoke me to do right. And I'm glad God put me with a crowd. The Bible says iron sharper than iron. I'm glad God put me with some iron. What's iron? People that have the courage to live for Jesus Christ, man. Anybody can go with the flow. That's why most people do. That's why I respect you for getting in and participating, not just hanging around. I've been to youth rallies where, you know, everybody's just sitting on the edge, you know. They're waiting to get the food or they're waiting to see their friend, but they're not involved. And I love seeing the participation. I loved hearing you laugh. I loved to hear you blowing the horn while my wife was taking a nap. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. That was not me laughing, honey. No, no. Amen. And the Bible says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here's an illustration I saw many years ago. I need YouTube. Can you help me out for a minute? Help me out. And, alright, how about, okay, you stand right here. You stand on that chair. Take your little shoes off. That's good. You got flip-flops on. Amen. All right. Now, here's what's so important about at choosing to hang around the right crowd, the right people. Sometimes people get they get saved and then they still hang around the wrong crowd because, well, I'm gonna influence them. When you're lost, the only medium, the only common denominator you have to fellowship with another lost person is the flesh. Amen. Is the carnal man. But when you're saved, how are you going to communicate with a lost person? Well, you still have that carnal nature. And so here's how it goes. I've heard Christians do this. Take him by the hand. And I've heard Christians say this. Well, I hang around because I want to try to bring him to Christ. I appreciate that, but it's hogwash most of the time. All right, now, you don't help at all. I want you to pull him up there on that chair with you. You just dead weight. Just try to pull him up there. All right, that's pretty half-hearted effort. But you couldn't do it. Amen. Now, join hands again. Pull him down. Is it easier to pull somebody up? Or is it easy for somebody to pull you down? That's simple, basic physics. It is that simple. It's that important that you make the right choice concerning who you hang around. Thank you, men. Thank you very much. Put your flip-flops back on. Amen. Now, talking about one of the most important choices you ever make has to do with the friends and the companions that you have. Now, I have a photo here, and so you can't see it very well. Take my word for it. These guys are ugly. Ugly. Amen. Now, here's three men. Three very, very close friends. Okay? And these guys were in the bike gang that I was in. Okay, no more kids. You don't get to sit. Okay. All right. See, look. And so let me tell you something about the three. This guy right here, this big guy, these two guys over here are not midgets. This guy is 6'8". He is a big boy. His name's Bear. Bear was a Marine sniper. Two tours in Vietnam. Highly decorated. A Marine. Amen. And I knew Bear when we rode in the motorcycle gang together. And he is a good brother. But let me see. He must have been about 41 years old. He died of a cocaine overdose. Bear didn't drink, Bear didn't smoke pot, but Bear liked to snort coke. And he'd go to our runs, he was in charge of security, he was always on his toes, but he did one little snort too much and keeled over dead. The center guy, his club name was Taco. Taco. He was a rich kid from Detroit. His father was a Lebanese gangster. His mother was a German lady named Geraldine Bowman. And she was tough as nails. And this young man in the middle, Taco, he grew up in Detroit in a gangster's environment. He was adventuresome. He was very, very intelligent. He went on to become the international president of the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. And was one of my best friends. And in 1999, he made the FBI's 10 most wanted list. After 2 years, he got captured. He's doing life in federal prison right now for multiple murders and conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit racketeering. Three men. The other one is a dumb farm kid from Northwest Ohio. That's me. Though I talked to you last night about a mess that I made, those are the friends I chose to hang around. Thank God somebody came and told me about Jesus Christ before I overdosed from cocaine or before I end up spending the rest of my life in prison. Let me read the verse I read again. It says this. It said, what I say? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Dave Spurgeon standing here today by the grace of God. And there's no mistaking that fact. I'm well aware that God has been good to me. A few years ago, I was down in Panama City preaching, and the preacher was excited because there was a fella that had been brought to the Bay County Jail. He was on death row wherever death row is in North Florida. And he had been brought back to Bay County to testify on a related charge. That had to do with something. He's already on death row for killing a guy. And he had seen him, and he asked me if I'd go down there and talk to him. So here I get to go. They let me in to the maximum security holding. I get put in a room with this convicted death row murderer. His name was Buck Gorby. He was originally from Kentucky, and he killed a guy in the panhandle of Florida about 5 years before this. And I got to sit in a locked room with him and talk to him about his soul. And I just got to tell you, I was disappointed. I was unable to lead Buck Gorby to the Lord because he was already saved. This guy's on death row. He's a convicted murderer. And I got to talking to him about the gospel of Christ, and he told me this. He said when he was a teenager in Kentucky, rural Kentucky, he went to church with his grandmother. He was saved. He believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. And one time, his aunt came down from Columbus, Ohio, 100 miles away, came down and got him and took him to Columbus at just turned 18, and he went up there to visit his cousins. This kid had never smoked. This kid had never drank. This kid had never even seen drugs. This was a good young man, a saved young man. Now all of a sudden, here he's in the big city. If you're from rural Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio is a big city. It's not a big city compared to what you're used to. He got in the car that night with some of his cousins. And they went to a bar, and he drank beer for the first time, and he smoked a cigarette for the first time, and he drank whiskey for the first time, and he's riding around in the back of a car, sick as a dog. And when he woke up the next morning at his aunt's house, he did not even remember how he got there, but he knew this, he had a big wad of cash in his pocket. Amen? It wasn't a $5 bill wrapped around a bunch of ones like that. That's a Michigan bankroll right there. Amen? He had all this money and he had no idea where it came from. He had a splitting headache. He was sick. He didn't even remember what had gone on the night before. And his older cousin came in and said, come on, hurry up. We got to go. We got to go. And he didn't even know why. And they went out the back and cut through some neighborhoods and the police were looking for him. While Buck Gorby was passed out in the back of the car, his cousin and another guy had got in a confrontation at a bar, went back with a sawed-off shotgun, shot a guy, and robbed the place. And they had been in there earlier, and here's old passed out, saved Buck Gorby asleep in the back of the car when all this went on. Make a long story short, that boy turned 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 in prison in Ohio. You know, he just never seemed to be able to get back into the swing of going to church again. And his life, this saved kid, his life just stayed on a downward spiral for the next 10 years. And he's out of work and out of luck. Down in Panama City, Florida, he got picked up by a guy that asked him if he'd do some repair work at his house. The guy turned out to be a homosexual. This is what Buck told me. And took him to his house, and there was two men there, and they tried to do what they do. Say, how'd you find that out? I got cleared to go into death row and talk to this guy. And he explained to me. He told him, he swore his innocence the whole time. He didn't do it, but he told me it's straight up in death row. Say, I killed him. What choice did I have? This boy is spending the rest of his life. He's waiting to be executed. I looked him up not long ago on the internet, and he's still on death row. That's been another 15 years. He's been on death row over 20 years. Saved guy. How'd he get in trouble? They're hanging around with an older cousin. You know, he knew what they were going to do. But you know what? He didn't want them to laugh at him. He didn't want them to make fun of him. Oh, country boy won't have a beer. Country boy won't have a drink of whiskey. And that kid knew better. But he was worried about what other people might think. Didn't want to be mocked or made fun of by his older cousin. I said, Buck. I said, if you could send one message out of here, out of death row, to the young people of America, what would it be? He said, I'd tell them to be careful of their friends, careful of the company they kept. That's straight. You know, we understand this. Adults understand this. Part of maturing, part of growing up is making choices, and part of it is making the wrong choices, and part of it is learning from your mistakes. That's just part of growing up. We don't want to run your life, but we want to show you what the Bible says about some choices are so important. I'm just telling you, you can't afford to make them wrong. They'll affect you. Like Brother Paul said last night, they'll affect you the rest of your life. Amen? Those are choices that affect your physical life. Some just affect your spiritual life. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your decision to read your Bible or not. Your decision to pray or not. Your decision to witness or not. That book says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Sin separates you from the Lord. You make some wrong choices concerning the fundamentals of the faith. Just your basic things about staying in the book and staying on your knees and staying in church. And I'm going to tell you what, sin gets in and sin separates you between you and your... It's not going to take your salvation, but it's going to rob you of your relationship. It's going to rob you of your peace. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And let me say to you tonight again that peace of God is a very precious thing, very important thing. And listen, the most valuable thing you have tonight as a young person is your testimony. And it's worth protecting. It's worth guarding. And a testimony that takes... Some of you got a good testimony. Could I warn you tonight that what takes years to develop can be lost literally in moments. Literally with a poor choice. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. This is a sad illustration. I'm done, though. Almost done here. I had a little article on a girl that had been raised in a Christian home. Her dad was even a preacher. I'm talking about doctrinally correct preacher and believed the Bible and believed salvation right. And this girl had gotten saved, and this girl was in youth group too as a kid and things like that. But as she got into her teen years, 16, 17, 18, by her own admission, she got real rebellious and in her heart. And she's still playing the game. I mean, you learn the mechanics of this Christian thing. And it's kind of like that young man in Luke chapter 15 when he finally asked his dad for his inheritance. The Bible says not many days hence, man. His heart was already gone. And I preach to young people every year, and they're still in church. Their rear end is, but their heart's gone. Right. Boy, and this girl, man, she had made up her mind. She had got listened to the music that we preach about. You know why sometimes when you get a sin in your life and you get under conviction and you don't want to get it right, we'll sit here and preach on not to do something, and that's the very thing that causes some people to do it. This girl started listening to rock music and the devil's music, and the next thing you know, she was drinking and she was doing drugs, and then she was getting involved in sexual relationships. She knew better. She became a drug addict. She was shooting dope into her arms. She hit bottom, though. She hit bottom. She got to the place, in her very early 20s, where she realized, man, she had the best of everything. And she blew it just out of pure rebellion. Amen? She got right with God. That's why I read about her. That's why I had the story. It gave her name. I won't give her name. It's just a horrible story. But she got right with God. And she got right with her parents. And she made amends. And so she's got some regrets. And she's got... But she tested positive for HIV. See, so she's got some regrets. A lot of us have some regrets, but the choice that she made, well, it's going to cost her life. She's going to die. Yeah, she got right with God, but she's not going to be able to forget that which is behind and reach forth unto that which is before, because the choices that she made, they're going to cost her life. Could you understand tonight that what Paul has been trying to say to you and what Brother Pat's been trying to say to you and what you've been getting from across this pulpit and the interaction with your preacher and folks, we're just trying to... He says, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And you know what? Life is about choices, but... My friend tonight, if there's anything we can encourage you to do, is make some right choices. Amen. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Pick one, A or B. He says this is what the Lord has to say. Therefore what? I set before you this day life and death. Amen. Blessing and cursing. And anyway, here's what he says. Therefore, choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. You know, I got to preach. I got to preach for Pastor Lindell Kincaid just a few months ago, about 6 months ago. And I had a great time. We're going to preach there again in January for a week. And after we got done preaching for him, my wife and I, we went down to the Alamo again. We'd been there before. I took the kids there years ago. And every time I go through that story about Travis pulling that sword and drawing a line in the sand... I admire those men for their commitment. And they made a decision, and that's what Travis gave me. He gave him a choice. He says, it is very important that we make this stand and that we fight and that we hold up this enemy advancing army so that others may live. And those of you that cross over are going to die here. And that's assured. And he was right. And they did. But he gave him a choice, and all but one guy, 179, 180 men, they made a choice, and they stepped over the line, and they sure enough all were killed. And you know what the Bible does, and the Bible is referred to as the sword of the Spirit, and what the Bible does, it draws a line in the sand, and then it offers you a choice. Only this choice isn't that you have the intestinal fortitude to cross the line and die. If you'll cross the line the Bible draws, well, you've chosen the way of life. real life, not just in eternity, but in here. Choices are just part of life, and it's not like, oh, wow, I made the right choice. Well, there's going to be another one. There's going to be another one, and there's it just never ends. But you can make the right choice, especially when it comes to the issues that matter. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's why it's imperative that you maintain the right relationship with the Lord. It's imperative that you stay on praying ground. It's imperative that you stay sensitive to the still small voice of God. Because the devil is working, man, and he's busy, and the flesh doesn't have any desire to set its affections on things above it. It's just interested in what it can see and feel and taste. And you've got to make a choice. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to make a choice that you're going to do right, and you're going to choose life, and then you're going to have to make a choice to get God in on helping you every day. And you can. And you've got good examples here. What there is, of course, is where are you going to spend eternity? And Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. I made so many bad choices in my life. Thank God one day it took a jail cell. It took a lot of junk in my life. But thank God I made a right choice and chose the way of life. Amen. And chose, it said, the way of life is above. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Amen. And I reckon that we pretty much got a room full of folks that have made that same choice. I hope everybody in here has. I hope everybody in here is saved. I won't take it for granted. If you're not, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I'm no theologian. I'm no scientist. I can give you the answer to that, though. It won't profit you at all. There's nothing in this world. The whole world wouldn't be worth gaining if it cost you your soul. Don't risk it. You know, when I was in the military, I saw guys that gambled, and I learned early on, like I say, I was a naive farm kid, and I wasn't street smart at all. All of that came later, amen. And I watched guys play poker, and man, I'll tell you what, I watched the whole paychecks go in the pot, and I watched, in the years after I got out of the military, I watched guys gamble, I watched motorcycle titles and car titles, I saw deed to a house, I saw deed to a property go into the pot on a poker game, and I watched these guys, and I stayed away from it, because I knew I didn't have the expertise, I knew they were waiting for somebody dumb as me to get in it. But I watched some things and I learned this. I learned that a gambler, guys were good at it because I knew guys were really good at it. And what their goal was to set their limit and know that when things weren't going in their favor, know when to get out. Know when to get out. But at the same time, they also, to get good at it, they knew to cause the other guy, whoever they're playing, to gamble more than he could afford to lose. Just tease the guy enough to keep to get him to keep betting and keep betting and keep betting. And that's how he got good, and that's how people lost everything. They bet more than they could afford to lose. They didn't know when to get out. The Bible says, what shall profit a man if shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil's a gambler. And he's very patient. And I'll tell you what he's got. He's got folks all over that have heard the gospel, and they're gambling with something they can't afford to lose, but they're going to lose. And they're going to lose their soul. And I hope nobody like that in here. Now, praise the Lord, you guys had a great time, and I appreciate the good spirit and everything like that. But you know, nice kids end up in hell if they die without Jesus Christ. And good kids end up in hell if they die without Jesus Christ. And you can leave a youth rally and get in a car, God forbid, and end up in hell if you die without your sins paid for. And let me give you some advice. Don't risk it. You don't have to. Choose life. Choose Jesus Christ. Well, He chose you.
Gila, but God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners.
Amen. Pilate said this, interesting question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? If you're not saved, my prayer is that that you'd accept Him as your Savior. And if you are saved, and you've already done that, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, and your name is in the Book of Life, and you are signed, sealed, waiting to be delivered, the question's the same. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? And I hope you purpose in your heart to make Him your Lord. Your Lord. Amen. That you'd purpose in your heart to love Him and to want to please Him and to seek Him for direction and guidance and counsel, because He's interested in you. And He wants to guide and direct your life. He wants to use you to reach others for Jesus Christ. There's some of you young people, you're going to do more for God. You've got the ability. It's your choice, but you've got the ability, if the Lord tarries, to do more for God than some of us could ever dream about doing. And there's folks that you could reach wouldn't give me the time of day. You hear me? Every saved person has got credibility with somebody. And there's somebody who in your life, your path will cross that maybe no one else could reach but you. But you're going to have to choose to live for Jesus Christ and be sensitive to that kind of situation when it comes. And you can be a vessel, meat for the Master's use. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be the right choice? Choose life. Amen. Don't choose to let this message go in one ear and out the other. Let's all stand. Brother Paul, you come. Simple message, choices tonight. Are you saved?